A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, you must say what is consistent with sound doctrine, namely, that older men should be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Similarly, older women should be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to drink, teaching what is good, so that they may train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good homemakers, under the control of their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited. Urge the younger men, similarly, to control themselves, showing yourself as a model of good deeds in every respect, with integrity in your teaching, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be criticized, so that the opponents will be put to shame without anything bad to say about us. For the grace of God has appeared, saving all, and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. Verbum Domini. The salvation of the just comes from the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and be fed in security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will grant you your heart's requests. The Lord watches over the lives of the wholehearted. Their inheritance lasts forever. By the Lord are the steps of a man made firm, and he approves his way. Turn from evil and do good, that you may abide forever. The just shall possess the land and dwell in it forever.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his apostles, to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished." Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do." Verbum Domini. Today is a feast of Saint Josaphat, who's a martyr for the unity of the church. But in light of today's gospel, I wanted to begin by speaking about another saint, Saint Zita. Have you ever heard of Saint Zita? She was born during the lifetime of Saint Francis of Assisi in 1212. Her family was poor. And so at the age of 12, this was 1224, Francis received the stigmata that year. At the age of 12, she was sent to serve a wealthy family to have some income for the family, her own family. And so she went to Lucca in north Italy, where she became a servant to this wealthy family at the age of 12. And it was 2 years later that Francis died, 1226. But the friars were very prevalent in northern Italy. And there were many lay people who were embracing the Franciscan spirituality, the Third Order. And she was one of those who became a Third Order Franciscan. And she lived to be 60 years old. So for 48 years, she was a servant of this wealthy family. Now, most of us would say, boy, that doesn't sound like much of a life. I surely wouldn't want to do that, to just live as a servant for 48 years. But she became a saint, so much so that Lucca, Italy, became known as Santa Zita because of the renowned holiness that she had. And in the income that she had, one-third of it she gave back to her family to help support them. One-third she gave to the poor. One-third for her own needs. And so she lived until the age of 60. She died in 1272. And recently there was an article in the Register called The Saint of Servants: The Humble Heroism of Saint Zita. And the author of this article, his name is Zubair Simonson. He concluded by talking about, you know, how she never really left that area to travel. But he concluded by saying she went the farthest on the most important journey, the interior journey to God. And so that's the most important journey, that she kept drawing closer to God. She kept going toward him. You know, some people say, well, in a cloistered monastery, there's nothing much happening there. Well, there is, because there's this constant movement toward God. And that's the most important journey for us, this constant movement toward God, whether it's doing menial tasks for your whole life. And she sanctified that because she did them for God. She did them for the love of this family, for her own family, whom she was helping to support. And so that motivation made everything holy. And when you think about our Lord's words today, or this gospel account that we have, at first, our first glance, we say, well, that's kind of demeaning, you know? Here I have been out working all day, and I come in, they say, hey, make me my meal. Serve me. And the Lord says that so it should be with you, that you see yourself as a servant. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do. Is that demeaning for us to be servants, servants of the Lord? Or is it not rather something that raises us up when we serve the Lord? We're learning from him. We're becoming more like him. and we're imitating him. You know, St. Josaphat, whom we celebrate today, he had opportunities to be very successful in life, but he felt this call from the Lord. And he served the Lord amongst much opposition of being united to the Catholic Church. And because of that, he was a martyr for the unity of the church. But when we are serving the Lord, we're giving ourselves to something, rather someone, greater than ourselves. You know, I enjoy playing pickleball. And I was speaking with someone lately who was just learning how to play the game. And he was saying that he was going to play, he learned from this guy who's really good. And this guy said, well, you want me to hold back? You know, you want me to just hold back? And he said, no, I don't want you to hold back. I want you to give me everything you got. Because he says, the only way I'm going to get better is if you give me your best. So he could get better by playing someone who's better than himself. And the same thing for us when we're serving someone greater than ourselves, the Lord. We're learning from him. We are learning to imitate him in his actions. We're becoming more like him. And St. Paul, in today's first reading from his letter to Titus, this letter, this passage we had today, concludes with St. Paul speaking of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Who gave himself for us. He humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant, he writes in Philippians. And this is why St. Zita could do this with a joy in her heart. Because the Lord himself had become a servant, dwelling among us. And St. Paul would say, he gave himself for us. Why? To deliver us and to cleanse us. Cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. Eager to do. Are you eager to do what is good? That's what the Lord teaches us. It's not about serving myself. That means I'm just going to always remain what I am. No, it's serving someone greater than myself, who gave me an example, who emptied himself, became a servant himself. Do you know the first 30 years of our Lord's life, we call his hidden life? And what was he doing most of that 30 years? Manual labor. He was working with his hands, his arms. He was doing physical things. We don't know a lot about that, but we know it was his hidden life. So he's doing these humble tasks too. And recently I was reading an article by a homemaker, a mother, Brianna Helt. And the title of this article, where she's talking about her own role as a wife and a mother at home, "Don't Fear the Same Old Thing. It's Your Training Ground for Holiness." And she quotes St. Therese, "Miss no single opportunity of making some small sacrifice, here by smiling, there by a kindly word, always doing the smallest right, and doing it all for love." And she talks about, you know, being a homemaker and a mother, and you're so busy, all the days just kind of fly by, and you, at the end of the day, you wonder what you accomplished. You know, you're chasing your boys, you're cleaning up after them, and all, you're doing laundry, you're preparing meals, you're doing all of these things. And she quotes from the Screwtape Letters. You know, the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis wrote this novel. It's a fictional account of two demons, and the one demon is training the other one how to lead those that he's tempting to their damnation. And one of the things that Screwtape, the one demon training Wormwood, says to him, he says, "Work on their horror of the same old thing." Same old, same old. Did you ever hear that phrase? What's going on with you? Same old, same old. Work on their horror of the same old thing. And Brianna says that it's not just the menial tasks in hand that discourage us, but it's the fact that it was the same yesterday and it will be the same tomorrow. So it's just the same old, going on, going on, and going on. But she says that, you know, the same old is the training ground for holiness, for happiness, for heaven itself. The same old thing is where love grows and changes and takes root. The craving for novelty and greener pastures, the creeping disdain for the common and the mundane, is surely common to all. And yet inevitably and invariably destructive. Mothers in particular must take care, because we can't quantify what it is exactly we do when we're with our children. Loads of laundry, book pages read aloud, games and meets attended, and meals provided are difficult to weigh in appraising one's life. But she says, in conclusion, she says, these small and largely unseen things that we do each day, we need to see them from God's perspective. We can find joy, hope, and beauty in the same old thing, whatever it is. You know, I remember this talk that this mother had given, and she gave as an illustration these great buildings, these great churches in Europe. And one man, and some of them took more than a lifetime to build, like Chartres Cathedral. And this man was up in the near the ceiling, and he was doing some very detailed work, and somebody hollered up, "Hey, nobody's going to see that. Why are you taking such care to do that?" And the man shouted down, "God sees. God sees." So he sees these little hidden things. And our Lord says to us, so must it be with you in our own service. When we've done all we can, all we've been commanded to do, say we're unprofitable servants, but the Lord loves us, of course. We've done what we were obliged to do. And when we do it with love and joy and cheerfulness for the Lord rather than for men, and doing it for others too, for love of them, then it has an eternal quality about it, because love is eternal. And I'll just conclude with a wonderful quote by an English writer, George Eliot. The growing good of the world is partly dependent on unhistoric acts, and that things are not so ill with you and me as they might have been is half owing to the number who live faithfully a hidden life and rest in unvisited tombs.